You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, the Cleveland Browns annual blood drive in association with Cuyahoga Community College, is coming Saturday, August 1st to a location near you. It's tomorrow. In partnership with the American Red Cross, your chance to join the First and 10 movement by donating blood. The Red Cross must collect 15,000 blood donations every day to meet the needs of patients across the country. To schedule your appointment, visit clevelandbrowns.com or the Browns mobile app, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS and mention the sponsor code Browns. Nathan Zgur, Matt Wilhelm back here on the Dog Bowl. Bria loved what we heard from Dwayne Bowe. I think you're also going to like what we hear from the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, Ray Farmer, who spoke after today's camp.
It's actually good to get to training camp. It's good to see the guys back on the grass, coaches. Really excited about year two. For us, it's a chance for us to show everybody like how we've kind of come together, that we're more on one accord as far as everybody having a chance to work with and know the team better. So, you know, we're really excited about what this season can hold. We like where we're at, and we're interested to see what our guys can do.
Can you talk about Justin Gilbert? What have you seen from him to make you think he'll be a better player than he was last year?
The biggest thing I've seen is the relationship that he has with some of the older guys. Dealing with Tremond, dealing with Joe, getting a chance to, learn the craft a little more detail. Spending time in the offseason with guys. Those sort of things, I think, help young players. You know, a lot of times you kind of try to rely all solely on coaching. The really good teams rely on each other as well.
So is he more of a loner last year than maybe you would want?
I think chemistry is organic. It gets built on its own. You know, you can't force guys to hang out. You can't force guys to do things. So over time, though, you get to learn people. You get to learn their habits, and I think it creates itself.
I mean, what is Terrell Pryor going to have to show you in the next, 5 weeks? That he deserves a roster spot.
Just that he can contribute to the team. You know, he's got to find a way to demonstrate he's got the skill set necessary to play in a role that we need him to play. And if he can do that and make plays and be productive, he'll have a chance to make the football team.
Would you keep him as a quote-unquote project, the guy that's maybe not ready to contribute on Sundays but you think will be able to contribute?
You know, those are the great debates, I think, for me. Anyways, when you get into the room and it's like, wow, you have this guy who's, we'll say, at level 7 today, and you have Terrell Pryor or whatever the other player's name is that's at a level 6 right now, but in time he might be a 9 or a 10. Those are the fun debates that you have upstairs. But I will say that everything will be taken into consideration, his youth, his speed, his size, and his ability, and then what his upside is. But we'll think about all that.
Does his quarterback skills figure at all into the equation?
Not at all. He's here to play a different position, and at the end of the day, he'll make it or break it on that.
When he brought him in, why did you think he could do this? Not a lot of history of pro quarterbacks becoming receivers. I mean, like guys from college, yes.
Yeah, guys from college. Oddly enough, I guess it's weird. I was talking to the scouts this morning, and one of the things I said, and I learned this, an old coach told me, actually, that quarterbacks all have really good hands because they spend their time playing catch. So it's not a product of whether he can catch the ball. The question is he a good enough athlete, and does he have the skill set to learn to play receiver? Well, I've seen the guy turn a broken play into a 90-yard touchdown run. So I know he's got the speed. I know he's got the athleticism. So you just kind of put two and two together of can this guy make the transition? It's odd, but a lot of guys in the National Football League, if you go back to their history, they played quarterback at some point in their career. So one of the best guys that I played with, William Thomas, was a quarterback when he was a kid. He ended up playing outside linebacker for the Eagles. And oddly enough, he had a lot of interceptions because he had really good hands.
Why not tight end?
Again, I think tight end is semantics. You could go to Jordan Matthews in Philadelphia and say he's a wide receiver, but he never lines up at wide receiver. He plays tight end. But it's the notion of where can the guy have the greatest impact on the game. Football's a game of matchups, so the matchup that precludes him, well, that's the one hopefully we'll take advantage of.
Do you feel like at all that it's a reach for him to make this move?
I don't think it's a reach. The guy's made the NFL as a talent already. Now, granted, playing a different position, but he's demonstrated he has the athleticism, the requisite skills to be in this league. The question now becomes is can he translate that to something else? So it's no different than you draft a kid that played DT or played D-line and you stand him up and you make him a linebacker or vice versa. Guy we had when I was in Atlanta, Rod Coleman, we got him from Oakland. He came out of ECU as a Mike backer. They moved him to DN. That didn't work. Then they moved him to three technique. Guy goes to the Pro Bowl. So it's just a matter of finding the skill set and matching it with the position he's going to play.
But might you strongly consider keeping only two quarterbacks if you know he's going to be on the roster?
All roster decisions, whether the number of quarterbacks, number of tight ends, the weird part about it is that it all comes back to you keep the best players, regardless of position. It was weird. I was talking to the scouts again about roster breakdowns and generalities. You say, okay, there's, you know, 40 teams going to keep 8 D linemen, so they're 2 deep. There's 30 fronts, they're going to keep 6 D linemen, maybe plus one. You may have a plus one at linebacker because the guy's a special team, et cetera. But then the Philadelphia Eagles 1 year kept 12 DBs. And everybody's like, how do you keep 12 DBs? I said, you never cut good players. So the reality is we'll keep the best 53 guys for our roster.
Right. The first 4 weeks of the season, have you figured out how you're going to be handling
it? We have a game plan. Don't want to really get into it now. I think right now it's about really evaluating the team and seeing where we're at. But at the right time, we'll announce what that plan is.
Great. What have you thought of McCollum so far?
I like Josh. I think he's an A++ person. I think he's a leader. I think he can obviously spin the ball. He's more athletic than I think a lot of people realize. I think he took off one time a day. I don't know if anybody thought he had the kind of wheels or the movement or the agility that he actually has. So in some respects, I would say age is just a number, because the guy is somewhat defined the reality of like what he should be able to do supposedly at his age. But he's a good quarterback. He can spin the football. He can make the reads. He's making throws. I like where he's at. I like his progression. I like kind of what he's going to be able to do for our offense.
Did you guys know or realize that, you know, that he could take off running like that at any time?
Again, there's a lot of ways to do evaluations. It's not just all watching how he played the game on Sunday. There's other pieces of the puzzle that we always add in. So I knew he was a better athlete than most people gave him credit for. So it's a product now of him being able to apply both his athletic skills and his quarterback skills to help the offense in the way he should.
Right. Commissioner's report on Tom Brady, the appeal, he mentioned your cooperation. He kind of praised you for that, said it lessened any penalties he may have been considering. Did you willingly turn over your cell phone and everything? Did you provide?
I did. I turned over my cell phone. It's all, again, I made the mistake. I made the admission, and it is what it is. I mean, I'll deal with any penalty I got. If they saw fit to be lenient, then that was their call, but it wasn't mine. So, but yeah.
Do you have any hesitancy about turning over?
None at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Where are you guys as an organization with Johnny Manziel? Have the expectations changed from this year from last year?
I don't think the expectations change. I think that the development is different. You expect more because now you're in year two and you should learn a little something different and you should then appropriate yourself that way. From my perspective, again, rookies come in and all rookies are different. Some hit the field and they run and it's great, and then they hit the sophomore wall. Other guys come in and they take a little bit to get going and then they take off. Everybody's an individual, but I would say, you know, our expectations for Johnny haven't changed. We still think he's capable of being a good player. He's got to put the time and the effort and energy in to achieve that.
Are you satisfied with where he is so far with everything he's gone through since the end of last season?
That's a trick question for me, because I don't know if I'm ever really satisfied. It's my goal and my job to replace guys. So you just want to see that the guy's making the strides necessary to attain the goal that you have for him. I do think he's taken some steps that demonstrate that he's serious about the craft. He's serious about getting it all together. And his preparation's improved, and then that'll trickulate to the field, and his performance will improve.
Could he be a starter in the NFL?
Use the right way and doing the right things, I think he can. You got to make sure that the guy is doing all the things necessary to take the next steps as a quarterback. If he does those things, he has the physical skills to do that.
Ray, you could there's the likelihood that you're going to be in a lot of tight games.
Okay.
So tight games come down to a kick, and you have two. Can you tell us why these two kids are here, or what you thought of them? And when you're looking at kickers in camp, do you look the broad scope of the NFL that your kicker might not be here yet?
You do. The reality is that's the truth, is that you canvass the scope of he may be here, he may not be here. I mean, oddly enough, I've been in situations where we've drafted kickers, and, you know, guy might have the best kicking percentage in the history of college, and then he gets to the team and it's terrible. And you're like, wow, what kind of mistake is that? So you can't just rely on the stats. You can't just rely on any one piece of it. It's a puzzle. And so you give the guy the opportunities, and either he makes the most of them or he doesn't. Oddly enough, I had Connor Barth when I was in Kansas City. I had Nick Novak, who's in San Diego. I've had a number of guys. We had Billy Cundiff in camp. We had Billy Cundiff, Nick Novak, Connor Barth, and Jay Feely all in camp at the same time, and none of them end up kicking in the season. So we ended up with John Carney. So, I mean, it's a product of you got to find the right guy and then inevitably make the right decision of who's going to be able to kick in your stadium and make kicks. So we like these guys. We think that, you know, they can kick off a little bit different. One's a little bit more of a drive. One's a hanger. But they've both been accurate so far through camp. And, you know, you got to make kicks. You got to make field goals, and then you got to be able to give us the opportunity to cover kicks.
Ray, Mike Pettine told us that, you know, he wasn't happy about the text controversy, and you know, recently there's been speculation that Jameel Northcutt's departure was a point of contention between you guys. So can you tell us how your relationship is going with Mike Pettine?
Great. Great. I mean, the guy doesn't invite you to his summer home. If he's mad at you, or there's a problem. Again, I think Mike used it best. We're singing from the same hymnal. The reality is that me and Mike have no issues. I can't tell you when I've ever been in some knockdown, drag out argument with the man, ever. I mean, do we agree on every player? No. Can we sit down and have a conversation? Yes. You know, I like Pitt. I think he likes me. We don't have any. There's nothing that we've ever gotten into, from my perspective, or and from his, as far as I'm concerned, that's ever been any major bone of contention. You know, every decision we've made has been a Browns decision, and there's times when he's had his hand in personnel. There's times when I sit and listen to what the coaches say. It's the natural flow of what happens when you have these two jobs.
So hey, Mike, not to hash over old stuff, but you know, if I can ask you, what prompted the whole texting situation to begin with? If everything was copacetic.
Again, that was a mistake on my part. Again, end of the day, I made the mistake. The reality is, there's no ill-gotten intentions. There was no intentions to gain any advantage. It was just my mistake. Rules are the rules, and because of that, I'll pay that penalty.
Hey, Ray, how does your job change during camp in the preseason, knowing you're not going to be here for the first 4 weeks?
I don't think it does. The reality is that I have a really good staff. The scouts are here now. I'm very confident that they'll be able to do the things necessary for those 4 weeks that I'm gone. Beyond that, I believe that you got to prepare the same way. You got to understand who you are. The goal right now is to find out who the Browns are and to keep the best 53 players that we have. In between then, now and then, it'll be the same process. Go through, figure out who's available, who may be on the street, who may get cut. If there's an opportunity to trade or to swap guys at the end, you can do those sort of things, or you can claim a guy to 75 cut. But there'll be roster movement. It always is. I don't think I've ever been a member of a team where we didn't have it. But a lot of those decisions, I think, are made earlier than most people think. You're just waiting for the you're just waiting for the ball to drop.
Do you need to have more contingency plans, like written down, if X player becomes available, we're willing to pick him up and cut RZ player?
No. From every interest that I've ever been in, even when I first got started in Atlanta, there's no decision that's made in a vacuum. They're all on the table. They all get talked about. They all get milled over. So the coaches have a say. Scouts have a say. You know, I'm obviously in the room. But we talk about these things as to what's best for the Browns. That's the really only decisions that come up is player A better than player B, and do we need to make that swap? But it's not just me sitting in the room making those decisions. There's a conversation that happens.
What are you going to do in these 4 weeks?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I haven't thought about that. Right now, all I'm focused on is how to make the Browns better. Training camp is here. It's upon us. I just got off vacation. I'm not looking for the next one. So I love football. It's what I've made my life's passion and my life's work. So I'm probably doing something that has to do with football.
I mean, will you be allowed to go scout during that time? Would that be a violation?
No, there's things that are off limits as far as what I can do as far as being associated with the team, the club, and the league. So if anything, my DirecTV package will blow up.
Ray, when it comes to roster moves, are they allowed to call you and say, this is what we're going to do?
Nope.
Ray, what have you thought of Carmine and what he's doing, right?
I'll start with the easy pieces. The guy's a pro. I mean, he's professional in everything he does. To taking the run test, to running his routes, to his warm-up sessions, he's a pro. And if you watch the meticulousness of his detail and his preparation, you'll see the reason the guy's played in this league and he's had success is that he details his routes, he knows how to stack guys, he does the little things right. And, again, I think that's what you need. You need a guy that has size, who can run routes, and catch the football inevitably, and he's proven he can do all those things so far.
Where do you think the roster stands compared to at this point last year, and does it still need to be improvement? Specifically at the top of the roster when you compare it maybe to other teams in the division?
I would tell you, I constantly search for how to improve our roster. And yes, you know, are we improved? Slightly. Is there more growth to go? Absolutely. I don't hide behind the fact that are we where we want to be? No, we're not. Are we on the right track? I would say yes, we are. there's obviously pieces that you want to address. But again, I've used analogies in the past. I use one now. It's like building a house. You can't put the curtains up till you got some walls. So it's just the order of which we're using to address things. But I do think we're going to be good on both lines. We're going to focus on controlling the line of scrimmage and then letting our skill kind of show how what level they're at. We think our back end is really good on defense. We think our offensive skill is capable as well. So the pieces are in place for us to have success. Now we just got to go out and demonstrate that we can.
General Manager Ray Farmer there addressing the media after the team's second day of practice and training camp. He likes the lines. He likes the secondary. Your reaction to what you heard?
My reaction and one key takeaway, you know, from that, you know, 12 to 15 minutes of sound was his reference to, you know, the roster. And he made reference to the Philadelphia Eagles keeping, you know, 12 defensive backs. And as he and his staff put together and, you know, try to draft out what this roster might look like, nobody knows yet. He doesn't necessarily know. His staff doesn't know. You know, you and I, as we've done right after the draft, and we'll probably continue to do, you know, at least once a week and try to figure out how many linemen are we going to carry, how many D linemen are we going to carry, how many corners, how many wide receivers. We can do that all we want, but what Ray Farmer will do with the help of Mike Pettine, you know, assisted by the coaches and position coaches, is get the 53 best players. Cleveland Browns on the football field for this football season.
And
that's for the first time that I truly feel I've heard that being drafted in a certain round is absolutely irrelevant. If you can play, you will make this team.
And that's the bottom line. And I think it's also about composition. They're not worried about trying to say we need to have this many of this year. We're going to get the 53 best guys for this team that we can get, and we are going to go from there. That's exactly the plan for the Cleveland Browns and Ray Farmer. And that's why it's interesting when you go through this. You never know. It's so tough. You never know exactly what they're going to do, and we'll find out. Could they keep – I think they will keep 11 DBs. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. And
no.
I think you'll see it. Why? Because that's where the talent is, and you don't just give away talent in the National Football League.
And he said
you don't
that,
do
quote
that.
Unquote. You don't give away talent.
You don't do it. We're going to hear now from his partner in crime, the two of them, singing from the reading from the same hymnal as he comes strolling by the Dog Bowl in Berea with a big smile on his face. The one and only Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. We'll hear from him right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.